It's a word a lot of secular education officials don't want to hear when it comes to teaching sex education in schools. Abstinence. Here's Pastor Al Pittman.
How can I practically avoid sexual immorality? Paul says abstain. Now, this is radical for our time. The world tells you that's impossible. You can't abstain. In fact, they're handing out condoms and all to our kids in elementary school and junior high school and saying they're going to do it anyway. Just go for it. And I guess God would say, how's that working out for you? And so the world says it's impossible, but we don't live according to the principles of this world. We live according to the principles of the kingdom of God. And Paul declares in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place. You are my dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place.
How often have we heard it said, it's my body, I can do whatever I want with it? That's used to justify anything from sexual immorality to abortion. But is it true? Hello, and welcome to another edition of The Dwelling Place, a ministry brought to you by Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs. Pastor Al Pittman has been leading us verse by verse through 1 Thessalonians, a great letter of encouragement in how to live the Christian life. Having finished chapter 3 yesterday, we now move into chapter 4, which deals with the subject of how to please God. Hopefully that's your ambition in life, so let's see how to get there. Here's Pastor Al.
Verse 1 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul writes, finally then, and like any preacher, he says in conclusion, finally then, and then he writes in a whole nother chapter. But he says, finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God. Here's the goal, it's to please the Lord. For you know that what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. This is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger, not the Avengers, amen. Like Hollywood, but God is the original avenger, amen. The Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarn you and testified, for God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. You know, as I was thinking about what Paul said here in verse 1, which kind of sets the stage, he says, I'm telling you this so that you might abound, exhorting you, urging you, that you might abound more and more in the Lord, that you may please the Lord. And I thought, the way my mind works, I went back to the old 1966 artist by the name of Joe Tex. Anybody remember Joe Tex? Amen. Come on, I'm going there. Amen. Joe Tex wrote a song, and you know, back then in 1966, released a song called "You Better Believe It, Baby." Right? Oh, I have to remind you of it. Here's how it went. Amen. Too much of anything ain't good for nobody. You better believe it, baby. Amen. And then he had a verse in there. Amen. This is part of the sermon. Amen. And then he had a verse in it that said, too much cake and ice cream will give you a stomach ache, too much coffee will keep you awake. And I thought about that in relationship, yes, to the indulgences of the world, too much of anything may not be good for you, but in relationship to Jesus Christ, we can't get enough. Amen. And God is saying to us, and Paul is saying to us, that God wants us to have excess, the pursuit of excess in our faith, and the goodness of God in our lives, to be overflowing. I love what the old King James version, I like it in the old King James, because it's just kind of cool the way it says it. But in Isaiah 55 verse 2 illustrates that very fact, highlights the very fact that God wants us to abound, where it says, wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Amen. That means an abundance. God wants you fat spiritually. There is no Jesus diet program. Amen. He wants us to abound in fatness. Amen. You say, hey, look, you know, look in the mirror next time and say, I'm biblical. Amen. So let's, amen. Let's just move on from there. That was an inspired moment right there. I just kind of. But Paul urges us and exhorts the church in Thessalonica to live a life of excess in Christ. A common lie, of the enemy is that if you follow Jesus, you're going to miss out. Anybody ever hear that voice? If you follow Jesus, you're going to miss out. But the opposite is true. The famous missionary by the name of Jim Elliot, many of you have heard this quote before, who was martyred for his faith in 1956. He said this, and I quote, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose," close quote. So true. The reality is that we're missing out if we're not following Jesus. There's a way that seems right unto a man, the Bible says, but it leads to destruction. But Paul says we should abound. We should be overflowing. God wants us overflowing with the goodness of God. But in order to abound, we must abide. Something else that Paul is telling us here in verse 3, he says, for this is the will of God. We must abide in God's will. How do we do that? By continually yielding to God the work of sanctification in our life. The work of sanctification. Now, what is the work of sanctification? As Paul says in verse 3, for this is the will of God, your sanctification. What is sanctification? Well, first, it is not reformation of the flesh. It is not me trying to just be a better person or a good person. Sanctification, by definition, here's one definition I think works pretty good. It says that sanctification is the exclusive work of the Holy Spirit, bringing our nature as believers more and more under his influence as God's agent for the perfecting of our faith in Christ. The Holy Spirit working in us, having influence over our lives. This is a sovereign work of the Holy Spirit, the work of sanctification. Simply put, the work of sanctification is to be set apart for God's purpose and his good pleasure. For God's purpose and his good pleasure. This is something that you cannot fake. This is something that we cannot do in the flesh. It is by the Spirit of God. Sanctification is God's course, if you will, for every disciple of Jesus Christ. It's a God-given course of study for every believer in Jesus Christ, every follower of Jesus Christ. It's a course, if you will, in the sense of a course you would take in school. It's a course that you never graduate from. It's ongoing. Now, I was once associated with an organization, it was a denomination, amen. And they had a doctrine which is called entire sanctification. And this doctrine of entire sanctification basically teaches that you can actually come to a point of perfection here on earth whereby you never, ever sin again. Now, as you can imagine, I really struggle with that doctrine. I was down to the altar every week getting born again and again and again and again and again and again and again, you know, because they also taught that you could lose your salvation. So I was all jacked up to start getting into the Word of God, because the Word of God does not support the doctrine of entire sanctification. In Paul, there are many scriptures, but one that in particular, Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, he says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on. That's the work of sanctification. You press on. That I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Amen. That's the work of sanctification. The good news about sanctification, and again, it's a course we never graduate from, it's all of our life we're being sanctified. I don't care if you're 8 or 80, you're still in the process. God is still working in you while you're here on this earth. But the good news is this, is that Jesus is committed to the process. He will never walk out on the process. He will never get frustrated because, you know, your bolts won't fit his wrench or something like that. And he just throws it up and goes, oh, forget it. I'm tired of working on this thing. You're a mess. He never walks away from the project. He's committed to it. The Bible says in Hebrews 2, verse 11, for who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Because you are one in Christ, you might be a pile of junk, but he'll put his arm around you and say, yeah, this junk belongs to me. And he's committed to the process, amen, of sanctification in your life. So the Lord's not going to walk off the job. That's the good news, is that he's going to complete it and complete it. And that, which is the second bit of good news, is that the process of sanctification will be completed in Christ. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, Paul says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has done a good work in you will what? Complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen for that. So Paul says here that God wants you to be fat. He wants you to abound, to have abundance. He wants you in his will. What is his will? For you to continually submit and commit yourself to the work of sanctification, the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. And the reason Paul warns him about this is because he understands that one of the primary enemies of sanctification is sexual immorality. Now, I'm going to spend a lot of time talking about that today. Just want to forewarn you. Sexual immorality is the enemy of sanctification. What is sexual immorality? Well, by definition, it literally means, I thought this was interesting, selling off. The devil believes that your price is sexual immorality. It's selling off of sexual purity. It involves any type of sexual expression outside the boundaries of biblical marriage. Now, that's a pretty good definition, sexual immorality. It sells off, amen. It doesn't add to your life. It sells off your life.
Pastor Al will be back in a moment with the second half of today's message in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. COVID-19, runaway inflation, high prices for gas and food. Are you feeling overwhelmed today? Would you like someone to pray for you? We would count it a real blessing to be able to do that. So share your prayer needs with us by going to our website, cwccs.org. And click the Need Prayer tab at the top of the homepage. That's cwccs.org. And thanks for remembering the dwelling place in your prayers as well. Now here's Pastor Al with the conclusion of today's message titled, The Pursuit of Excessive Faith.
Now, let me just say this. It may come as a surprise to some of you that God created sex. Amen. Aren't you glad about it? Amen. Get an amen from somebody out there. Hey, God created sex, amen, between a man and woman, biological man, biological woman, got to say that today, within the confines of marriage, amen, amen. Now, that's not me talking, that's what the Bible says. God meant for it to be a beautiful thing, not just for procreation, but also to enjoy between a husband and wife. And sex is beautiful, isn't it? Within the confines of marriage. Like fire is beautiful within a fireplace. I've got a gas fireplace, you know. So I got tired of cutting up wood and buying those flame logs and all that kind of stuff. So I just go to hit the switch. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Fire and fire. Sit there and like, oh, get nice and warm and all. It's wonderful. Or whether you're cutting wood or whatever, fire is beautiful in the fireplace. But fire on your living room floor will burn your house down. And sexual immorality does that in the lives of many people, in the life of many marriages. It has burned lives down, it's burned marriages down, it's burned families down, it's burned whole homes, houses down. Outside of the context that God meant for it to be in, it can do great damage. In the New Testament, the word most translated sexual immorality is the Greek word porneia. Greek word porneia can be translated whoredom, fornication, or idolatry. And sometimes we think, oh, those crazy people in the Old Testament walking around bowing down to little idols that they created in their homes and all those crazy people. Do you know that sexual immorality is idolatry? It is an idol that millions are bowing down to even to this day. It's an idol in your life. So Paul is really addressing idolatry here when he talks about sexual immorality. It is sexual immorality, idolatry, that keeps you from enjoying the fullness of what God has for us. The word porneia is where we get our English word pornography. And it's no secret that sexual immorality has impoverished, not enhanced, but impoverished the faith of many believers. It's no secret. We hear the stories all the time. In fact, it was the culprit behind the rebellion of Israel all those years, especially even when they were in the wilderness. You know, when the Jews left Egypt, were delivered And God used Moses to deliver them from Egypt. When they went out into the wilderness, they were still clutching their idols. Did you know that? They were still holding on to sexual immorality. Still hanging on to it. You think, oh, man, after they saw God deliver them from the army of Pharaoh and they walked through the Red Sea on dry land and they saw the water come out of the rock and the law come down by fire on Mount Sinai and all, surely they would set aside their idols, but they were still walking through the wilderness with their idols. You go, wow, man, I can't believe that. They saw all those miraculous things, but what about the miraculous things God has done in our lives? And yet we're still tempted to hold on to our idols. Psalm 106, verse 13 and 15, speaking of the children of Israel, said they soon forgot his works. That's when idolatry comes in. We forget what Jesus has done for us. We forget the Red Sea he parted for us. We forget the water that came out of the rock when there was no way at all, and yet God made a way. We forget his works. And not only that, they did not wait for his counsel. They forgot not only his works, but they forgot his word. They start relying on their own counsel, their own thoughts, their own feelings. But they lusted exceedingly in the wilderness, and tested God in the desert. And God gave them their request. Now, if you've complained long enough, God will finally say, go ahead, go for it. He gave them their request, but he sent leanness to their soul. You show me a believer caught up in sexual immorality, I'll show you a starving believer, an impoverished believer who knows nothing about how good God can be. So Paul, understanding that sexual immorality, I mean, I know it's getting real quiet in here, that's all right. It's a tough topic, but I got to preach the whole counsel. Amen? The whole counsel of God. It's one I wish I could just gloss over, but I know that I've got to preach it. Not only for myself, but for you. It applies to all of us. And so Paul, understanding that, man, this is the very thing that will stand in the way of God's people experiencing the fullness and the goodness of God, being in God's will and pleasing God. Paul said, we got to deal with it. I'm going to deal with this giant, this issue of sexual immorality. So therefore, he presents three radical ways in which we can confront sexual immorality. He talks about confronting it practically, socially, and also spiritually. Now, today, we're only going to talk about the practical. Look at confronting sexual immorality in a practical sense. And then in the next message, hopefully we'll get to the social and the spiritual. And the practical is the spiritual as well, but for the sake of 3 points, amen, in a sermon, practical, social, and spiritual. Now let me just say this for anybody here that is like, oh boy, I don't want to hear this message. I want you to know that you may have given up on God, maybe, or given up on yourself, but God will never give up on you. I want you to know that maybe you have fallen, but you know what? The Lord is still for you. I want you to know that the words I'm going to share today, please receive them as the loving words of our Father, who does not cut us to watch us bleed, but he cuts us to heal us by his word, and that he loves us enough to tell us the truth. And so I pray that God would bless you through this message today, and that you would be blessed, not discouraged, but encouraged in Christ. So the first thing that Paul addresses here in relationship to sexual immorality in verse 3, he says, this is God's will that you, for your sanctification. Then he says, the latter part, verse 3, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. How can I practically avoid sexual immorality? Paul says, abstain. Abstain. Now, this is radical for our time. And the reason it's radical is because the world tells you, that's impossible. You can't abstain. In fact, they're handing out condoms and all to our kids in elementary school and junior high school and saying, they're going to do it anyway. Just go for it. And I guess God would say, how's that working out for you? And so the world says it's impossible, but we don't live according to the principles of this world. We live according to the principles of the kingdom of God. And Paul declares in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. God is there to strengthen us to do what the world says is impossible for us to do. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The problem is a lot of times we're relying on our own strength and not the Lord's. Without a radical approach to this sin, we restrict God's goodness, the excess of God that he desires to lavish upon our lives. Paul reminded the church in Corinth, as he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, he says, you are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Boy, isn't that the battle? It's Al Pittman's affections for pride or, you know, carnality or whatever, the affections that I have to, because the flesh is always warring against what? The spirit. So the Bible says, walk in the spirit. So you will not gratify the desires of the flesh, because our affections can limit what God wants to do in our lives. So to abstain in a practical way, one way, I was just thinking about this, one way to abstain in a practical way requires that we make courageous choices. It's not on the screen. You might want to write that one down. I probably should have highlighted it, but it's courageous choices. Courageous choices. You never think, when you think about abstaining from sexual immorality, you don't think of courage, but it requires courage. Courageous choices. Abstinence is not merely, you know, sort of white knuckling it, you know. If you're my complexion, amen, it may be a little gray knuckles, but that's all right. It's the same principle. You're holding on, I got to get through this, or gritting your teeth. That's not abstinence. Abstinence is choosing, one form of abstinence, like I say, biblically, is to choose to be courageous rather than being a coward. Think of it that way. Next time that temptation comes, God has given you an opportunity to be courageous. The Bible tells us that there are no cowards in heaven. Did you know that? Did you ever hear that? First time I read that many years ago, I thought, whoa. There's no cowards in heaven. The scripture tells us in Revelation chapter 21, it says, but the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, the sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. There it is. The destination for the cowardly is not heaven, it's hell. And why is that? Well, you know, I'm kind of afraid sometimes God's going to send me to hell. No, it's really, yeah, sometimes we do fear. That's why God says, fear not. Sometimes we do get afraid. But cowardice is really another form of unbelief. And unbelief, you know, without faith, the Bible says, rather, we cannot please God. So to be a coward is to not believe God. To not rest and to believe in his principles, to not rest and believe that God is able to deliver me no matter what is going on in my life, to continue to trust God. As somebody said one time, if you fall in the Lord, always fall forward. Continually trusting in God. And I might add, if you do fall, what is the remedy? How can I get victory, Pastor Al? Get up! Get up.
This has been The Dwelling Place, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Al Pittman, Senior Pastor at Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado. If you enjoy Pastor Al's teaching ministry, we have some good news for you. You can listen, watch, or download an archive of past messages and our current series in the Book of Acts with a simple mouse click at cwccs.org. Just click the Messages tab at the top of the page. And while you're checking out our website, be sure to download the Calvary Worship Center app for your device. And take Pastor Al wherever you go. The Dwelling Place is also available at oneplace.com. And I would also like to ask you to take a few moments today to send Pastor Al an email and let him know that you enjoy The Dwelling Place on this station. You can also share a prayer request with us. Just send an email to amen@cwccs.org. Have you considered becoming a financial supporter of The Dwelling Place? We really need your support to keep this radio ministry going and growing. You can support this program with a one-time gift or become a monthly supporter. If you'd like to join our support team, you can do so at our website, cwccs.org, or by texting the word GIVE to 719-354-2778. If you live in the Colorado Springs area and are looking for a church home, or you'll be visiting the area in the future, we invite you to come join us for worship here at Calvary Worship Center. You'll find directions and more information at cwccs.org. And no matter where you are, you can watch our services via live streaming right there at our website. You'll find directions and service times for both locations at cwccs.org. Have a wonderful day in the Lord. The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman is presented by Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado.